Please open your Bibles, if you have them with you, at Luke chapter 8, as we look at this passage from verse 22 on. There's currently a superhero movie in the cinemas at the minute called The Avengers. I haven't personally seen it, but it's broken records by taking in over $1 billion in revenue in its first week. More and more people are being drawn to these fantasy-type movies where there seems to be these great battles of good versus evil, these great displays of visual power and all the effects that come with it. And when people see one, they're waiting in anticipation for the next release. The story that we come to in Luke 8 tonight is one that could rival any box office hit. Here we see someone who has great power and authority, one who is able to bring any situation under his control. But this is no made-up story. It's not exaggerated by any props or visual effects. This is a true story that shows who Jesus is and the power that he has to bring about change, even in the darkest of circumstances. Luke had recorded that parable of the seed in the four soils that we heard about this morning. But as those crowds listened, they would have assumed that that good soil had referred to the Jewish community. They wouldn't have been thinking that this was going to go out to those all Gentiles. But they were in for a shock, because in verse 22 and 26 it says that Jesus set off in a boat with his disciples to the other side of the lake. It's like they had gone to the dark side as they went to the place of the Gerasenes opposite Galilee. And that boat journey across, Jesus was fast asleep. But this became a bit of a nightmare for the disciples as they faced the worst storm they had ever encountered. They thought they were going to perish, and they cried out to Jesus. And as Jesus woke up, he looked at it and he simply spoke. He rebuked the wind and it died down. It became calm. See, Jesus clearly showed his power and authority over nature. And in doing so, he showed that he was God, because in Psalm 107 it said that it is God who stills the storms. But the disciples missed this. They said they lacked faith. They questioned and they said, who then is this? Who is this man who has power over nature? And that's the question that's very clearly in their minds as they set foot into this Gentile region where there were pigs and all sort of unclean things in that land. But again here, Jesus is going to show his power, but this time it would be over a violent, demon-possessed man. So as we look at this story, remember, this is the same Jesus who also has the power to change our lives here tonight. So firstly, we see a man held captive to the power of sin. There's a headline in one of the newspapers this week which said, grieving County Down man slept on brother's grave as he battled his own demons. I'm not going to talk about that situation in particular, but I thought it was an interesting headline. We don't often hear people talking about demons today. But this fellow in the story was in a very dark place, and this was something that was very real in his mind. Too often people are quick to rubbish any talk nowadays because they don't want to believe in dark forces being out there. They don't want to believe that Satan is at work in the world. But he is, and we need to be aware of that. See, not everything can be explained away by some sort of medical diagnosis. There are certain situations where no amount of treatment will solve the problem at hand. And for this man who approached Jesus, well, there were some who would try and explain this away as some sort of mental illness. Or they would say that he was merely having epileptic fits. They try to explain it away. Well, look, the one who was writing this gospel was a doctor, and he didn't think that was the case. At the outset, this man is described as having demons. In verse 30, it says that many demons have entered him. See, this was a severe situation. Verse 27 indicates that for a long time he had worn no clothes. What a sight it must have been for this man standing before Jesus naked in front of him. And his situation was so bad that he didn't live in a house with his family anymore. It says that he lived in the tombs. In other words, he lived in the graveyard. See, the people of the city, they didn't know what to do with this man. These demons had caused these seizures, and so they had bound him with chains and shackles. But even as those demonic powers came on him, he was able to burst the chains open. And Mark's account gives even more detail. It says that he was always crying out, and he was cutting himself with stones. What a horrible situation this man was in. There's no denying that he was possessed, because even his speech was controlled by demons here. Because when he was asked his name, the reply was given that it is Legion. Of course, that's not his actual name. We're not told that. But a legion was the largest unit in a Roman army. It was around 6,000 men. Doesn't mean that he had 6,000 demons, of course, but it was a large number when he was referred to as legion. You see, this man truly was held captive. These demons had taken control of his life, and they were even causing him physical harm. Although it's not common for us to hear about someone being possessed by demons here in Northern Ireland today, there are many of us, many people, who have been held captive. From the point where we were born naked into the world, we've been enslaved to the power of sin. You see, that is also a dreadful situation, and the longer that we continue in sin, the more enslaved people become to it. We're not told how someone becomes possessed by demons in the Bible, but there's a danger in embracing sin. There's a danger in continuing in sin. Because the more you open up your life to idols and to the vices of this world, the deeper you go into sin and come under the control of Satan, the more he takes a grip on your life and those powers surround you. In Romans 1, it tells us that God hands such people over to the lusts of their heart. It says that he gives them over to a depraved mind. We see many situations like that today, don't we, in the world where people have gone deeper and deeper in sin. It's got such a grip on them and a hold of their lives. But as we think of our own lives, I wonder, are there areas that you can identify where you have been held captive to sin? Are there certain lusts, certain addictions, certain cravings for wealth and possessions in your life that continue to have a hold on you? They've got control. Things that you haven't put to death because you love them more than you love Christ. See, it is dangerous to continue to pursue sin and follow after it, because Satan will use whatever means he can to continue to keep us captive to him rather than to Christ. But thankfully, we see here in this passage that Jesus displays his power over Satan. Jesus displays his power over Satan. Jesus has already shown his power in many ways as he healed a paralytic man, made him walk again. He raised a young man from the dead back in chapter 7. We have seen wonderful things. He has just calmed this violent storm in front of his disciples with just a word. See, nothing is too great for him. Jesus has been given this authority over all things. So we shouldn't be surprised here when he shows his power over Satan and his host of demons. And we see that he has power over him in the way that these demons react in the presence of Jesus. Look at verse 28. It tells us when they saw Jesus, they cried out and fell down before him. See, these demons can do nothing else but fall before Jesus, the King of Kings. But they don't bow down in adoration or in praise. They bow down out of submission and fear. See, in that boat with Jesus, the disciples failed to recognize who he was. But even these demons recognized and knew who they were standing before. And they make that clear as they cry out, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" See, Jesus, these demons clearly knew Jesus had this supernatural power. They knew that he was this mighty ruler, and they could identify him clearly. They knew he was the one in charge here. If you imagine someone holding a gun to your head, if you had someone holding a gun to your head, you would beg for mercy that they would spare your life because you know that that person is in control of that situation. And you see, these demons know that before Jesus, it's like he had a gun pointed to their head and all they can do is beg for mercy before him. They're begging him. They're crying out to him for mercy. We see them begging a few times in this. They begged him not to torment them. And in verse 31, they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. That term abyss is described in Revelation chapter 20, and it's described there as a bottomless pit. It's this idea of continually falling, a place where Satan will be cast into. Where in Revelation it talks about him being shut in and sealed in so that he won't deceive the nations anymore. See, these demons knew that destiny was awaiting them. They knew that Jesus had the power to send them there right away. They were desperate not to go there. They were desperate to escape for long as they could. So as Jesus commanded them to come out of this man, they begged him to let them go into a large herd of pigs in the nearby hillside. It's a strange request, isn't it? It's one that there's much speculation about as to why Jesus would even grant this. But what we do see here is that these powers of evil can't do anything outside the sovereignty of God. They realize that they have to submit to Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. See, as Jesus walked through the earth, he was given power over Satan, and these demons knew clearly he was in charge. But Jesus' ultimate victory over sin and over the evil one was accomplished from a position that seemed like weakness, not power. It was won through him suffering and dying on the cross. It was there that Jesus brought about a power over sin and death and the evil one that is available to each one who trusts in him. You see, because Jesus is alive today, he is victorious. He has bound the strong man. He has plundered his house, as the scriptures tell us. Satan has no power over Christ or over anyone who trusts in him. But I wonder, have you come to know that power in your life, that power of Christ? The one who demons fall down before and cry out in mercy in his presence. Jesus has shown his power over Satan. And so that leads us to see that Jesus has the power to save and set captives free. There's been a lot of talk about the Jeremy Kyle show being axed this week as one of the guests on it died. It's often described as trash TV. But these are real people on that show, many of whom have really messed up lives as they are so captivated by sin. One of the headlines on the show was a man admitting that he was cheating on his partner with her two daughters. And he may even have fathered his step-granddaughter. You couldn't make that sort of thing up, could you? But these are desperate situations where Satan has got such a hold and a grip on people's lives. And like this demon-possessed man, they're captive to the power of sin. They need to be freed from it. But no amount of lie detector tests or no amount of counseling will set them free. Because I'm sure, like these people of the Gerasenes, they tried their best to help this man at first. They tried to restrain him when he was taking these fits and seizures, but it only got worse. They weren't able to do anything for him, and so he was abandoned. He was left as an outcast, naked in a graveyard to fend for himself. But look what happened when he met the man Jesus. What a change was made in his life. You see, Jesus was able to do what no one else could do. He was able to take this wretch of a man and make him new. With a word, Jesus spoke to the demons and commanded them to come out immediately. See, this story is such a dramatic event where we see such a change in this man at the authority of Jesus. But it's even more dramatic as the demons were given permission to enter these pigs and the herd rushed down the bank and they went into the lake and were drowned. See, this whole event caused such a stir. And the herdsmen went away and they told the people in the city what happened. And when they came, they, They saw that this man was no longer bursting into fits of rage. There was something different about him. It says that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He had a controlled manner about himself. No longer was he naked. It says he was clothed for all to see. He's no longer out of his mind and aggressive. He was peaceful. He was in his right mind. See, what a sight that must have been to witness. What a transformation. What a clear change in this man's life. No longer captive to Satan and the power of sin, he was now set free. Look at verse 36. It says, those who had seen it told him how the demon-possessed man had been healed. That word for healed can also be translated as saved. See, Jesus has truly saved this man from the grasp of Satan and from eternal consequences. But it was only Jesus and his power that could do that. Not the man himself, not the people of the city, not any other so-called expert. It was only Jesus. But when we hear of dramatic stories like this, dramatic conversions of someone who was demon-possessed, or if we were to hear of someone on that Jeremy Kyle show being converted and saved to the Lord Jesus, wouldn't we stand back and marvel about what a change that was in their life? We would go, wow, that's a great thing that God has done. You see, none of those conversions are any more marvelous than what God has done for each of us who have been saved by Christ. Because everyone who the Holy Spirit has regenerated and brought to saving faith in Christ have come under new management. Each of us who are saved are no longer under the power of Satan, but united to God through all that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. As he bore our sins, as he died in our place and was raised on the third day to bring that victory. See, in him our nakedness has been clothed in his righteousness. We've been given that renewed mind that continues to be transformed day by day by day. I hope we all know the joy of being saved and set free from the power of sin and darkness. Finally, then, we see Jesus' transforming power brings a reaction. When someone's dramatically saved, it does bring about a reaction in people's life, doesn't it? There's different responses to it. There was clearly a response from the people in the city here as they saw what happened to this man. Look at verse 37. Then all of the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. You would think if you saw something like this happen, you would be wanting to know more. If you saw someone who was one of their own people who had been in this situation for such a long time, you would think that the people would be in awe and amazement of Jesus for what he had done. But no, these people ask him to leave, to get out of town, because they're afraid of what that would mean for them. They're afraid of giving up their life as they knew it. They're afraid of having to give up the things that they loved so much. Because they had just witnessed their livelihood disappear over the face of a cliff as over 2,000 pigs most likely were drowned. See, this was tragic, of course. There would have been no insurance from the farmers' union for these folk as they lost their herd of pigs. But we see these people's reactions show that their love of their possessions, their love of their wealth, their livelihood, it was more than their need for seeing Jesus. They put that as their priority. They had their priorities all wrong. Their love for the things of this world were so great. They were more concerned about the lives of pigs who had no soul than they were about a life who had a soul being saved. Maybe that describes you tonight. You're afraid to give your life to Christ because it might bring about a change in your life. You say, I love my life. I think I've got a great life. I love how things are going in my life. I have a great lifestyle. I have a great job. I have a great family. Why would I want Jesus? If I had Jesus in my life, things might change. I'm not comfortable with that. Let me ask you tonight, what if all these things that you treasure so much disappeared over the edge of a cliff, just like those pigs did? What would you be left with? Would you still be content? Would you still be happy? Would you still be treasuring those things? Why are we so concerned about losing material things that don't last when our lives our souls could be lost for eternity. And eternity is a long time. See, when you hear that Jesus has the power to set captives free and bring lasting peace, why then do some people continue to ask Jesus to depart from them, to get out of there, to go away from them, just like those people of the Gerasenes? See, instead of sending Jesus away, we should be embracing him, welcoming him into our lives. You see, look how much that man's life changed when he was saved. It was a complete transformation. In verse 38, he begged Jesus that he might go with him. He wanted to be with Jesus. He was so grateful for the mercy that had been shown to him. He had this newfound love and affection for his Savior. So much so that all he wanted to do was be with Jesus, to be in his presence. He wasn't concerned about going back to the pig farming. He wasn't concerned about going and starting up a business or finding his family again. No, his main focus was being with the one who saved him and gave him life. He wanted to know him more. He wanted to be with him. I wonder if you're saved tonight, do you still have that same love and affection for Christ as you did when you first came to know him? Has your love grown cold over the years, or is it growing stronger day by day as you come into his presence, as you grow to know him more and more? See, our love for him should be growing as time goes on, not growing colder. You see, Jesus had other plans for this man's life. He refused his request to allow him to follow him in the boat. And he told him to go back to his people, go into the city and the surrounding place to declare how much God has done for you. What a witness this man's testimony would have been as he went back into that city, as he went through the whole place proclaiming the good news of what Jesus had done for him. Surely that would have caused such a stir as he walked up and down the streets telling, "Look what Jesus has done for me." Because people could clearly see that his testimony was true, it was real. There was a dramatic change in this man's life. It was evident for everyone to see. If you have been saved, we're also called to share that good news, to proclaim it in our cities, our towns, our surrounding neighborhoods. But I wonder, does our witness, our testimony match up with what the Word of God says that we're proclaiming? Is it clear that there has been a change in your life? Is it clear that we are no longer captive to sin or to certain sins, but that we are saved? We have been set free, and instead of being captive to sin, we are now captive to Christ. We are his. We have a deep love for him. We have a desire to know him, to grow in him, and to be in his presence. May each of us continue to depend on Christ, to know his power at work in your life day by day as we depend on him alone, the one who is able to save, who has saved, and will continue to save. May we rely on him all the more as we see each day approaching. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence and we realize, Lord, that each of us were captivated by sin from the moment of our birth. That power of darkness, Lord, had a hold on our lives. We were blinded to the truth. We didn't know Christ. But Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you are greater than any power of darkness. We thank you that Christ was given that power over sin and over death. As he won that victory on the cross, as he brought about that great accomplishment, that meant that each one of us who trust in him as Savior and Lord would have that everlasting life. We thank you that sin no longer has that power over us. We are able to resist and stand firm in your strength. So Lord, help us each day to continue to look to you for that help as we seek to stand firm under temptation, as we seek to put to death those things that are holding us captive, Lord. We pray that we would put away those sins. May, Lord, instead we be captivated and in awe and wonder of all that Christ has done. May our love for him grow more and more each day. May that be apparent to each one we meet, Lord, and may we seek to share this wonderful good news with each and every one we meet, especially, Lord, those who have been captured and sucked in by the powers of sin and darkness. Lord, continue with us as we go into this week ahead. May we continue to look to your word. May we know Christ as our source and our strength of all that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.